It's great to be with you, Beltway Park, even if with you in this case happens to be virtual. I'm really grateful for the team that over the years has put together what we typically refer to as our Plan B, our online campus that allows us to stay connected when we're sick or out of town or something like that. But in the scenario our nation is in right now, our Plan B has become our Plan A, and I'm so grateful that we have it. I'm so grateful that you're here. I'm going to be honest with you today. Maybe more honest than you want me to be. This past Tuesday morning, I woke up early, like really early, 4:30 a.m. early. And I felt, the only word I can come up with is overwhelmed. I know that's probably not why you tuned in to be a part of services today, but I'm willing to bet that I'm not the only one that's had that feeling sometime in the last few days. And I forced myself to do things that I knew I needed to do. I listened to my own sermon, and I got still before the Lord. And it was so early that I kind of probably, I don't know if I cheated, I'm allowed to go out when no one's around. And I went out, and I took a walk, and my walk turned into a run, and I exercised. And then I even got in the shower and got ready, even though the only place I was really going to go that day once people got out was to my bedroom. Then I opened the scripture to my regular scripture reading. I have a plan I'm going through, and I noticed that I'm going to be in Acts, the 9th chapter. It's the story of Saul of Tarsus being converted, this one who becomes Paul. And I can't tell you how many times I've read Acts chapter 9, but I know it's in the hundreds. My emotions were low, my spirit struggling. I'm going to tell you, I expected very little from reading a passage that I already knew very well. But hear me, God is so good to speak through his word, even when our expectations are low. You see, in Acts chapter 9, Paul is in the city of Damascus. He is blind. He hasn't eaten because of, on the journey to Damascus, he encountered the Jesus who he had been persecuting, the Jesus whose followers he was killing. And God came to a Jesus follower in the midst of that named Ananias. He came to him in a vision and told him he needed to go and minister to Paul. And the scripture says that Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." And when I read that, I actually started laughing out loud because that was me. I mean, Ananias is having what is referred to as an open vision. With his physical eyes, he is seeing God. With his physical ears, he is hearing God. And though he was having a spiritual experience like few have ever had, I've never had anything close to that. Even with such an experience, he felt overwhelmed. I mean, he asked, "God, do you not know why this man is here?" As if God's going to say, "No, I didn't know. Why don't you tell me about that?" See, Ananias knew that Jesus' followers were being hunted down. They were being beaten. They were being pursued. They were being put to death. It was, hear me, a very dark situation. And even with such a strong manifestation of the presence of God, Ananias, this man of faith, is struggling. He's doubting. And I laugh because it's as if the Father had hand-selected that chapter for me. A chapter that I happened to be reading on that particular day going through the course of my daily reading. And the next verse, Acts chapter 9, verse 15, did my heart good. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before all the people of Israel." Notice the Father didn't rebuke Ananias for his doubt, for his struggle. He didn't say, "Dude, this is as clear a sense of my presence as you're ever going to get this side of heaven. What is wrong with you?" He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't get on to him. He just nudges Ananias to walk in faith right in the midst of his doubt. And as I was contemplating this, my mind went to the end of Matthew's gospel. I'm sure it was the Spirit of God. Jesus has been resurrected, and the passage said, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." So really catch the scene. They have seen with their physical eyes the resurrected Jesus. They have heard him with their physical ears. They have touched him with their physical hands. By empirical evidence, by their senses, they know that he has been resurrected. And the scripture says, yet when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. See, I have to wonder if this is like a confession on Matthew's part. That even with all he had experienced, he still found himself struggling. Now, apparently they talked about this at some point, Because some in the verse implies that it was more than one, and somehow Matthew knew about the other ones. But you got to give Matthew his due, man. He honored the bro code, and he did not throw anyone under the bus by giving them their names. He just wanted us to know. I believe the Spirit of God, inspiring Matthew, wanted us to know that doubt in dark times isn't the absence of faith. Hear me. Doubt in the dark seasons isn't the absence of faith. Some doubt, some struggle in the midst of the darkness is really part of the journey of faith. And just like Ananias, Jesus didn't rebuke the 11. He didn't show disgust for their struggles. He didn't get onto them and say, "You're getting to see me physically. Not many people are going to get that." No, the next verse says, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." We got to hear that today. All authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus nudges them. He compels them to a place of faith in the midst of the darkness. Can we be really honest today? We're living in a season like none have ever experienced. None of us have ever experienced. There are a lot of uncertainties that I really don't have to enumerate for you. The news is doing a great job. The social media is doing that. I'm sure you're full of all the information and the speculations. And to be honest, we don't know where one overlaps with the other and where one is real and one is not. And in the midst of all this, I bet all of us have wrestled. We wondered where God is and what God is doing. Our mind has raced into the future of all the what ifs that might be. And we wonder, what do I do? What can I do? I'm not going to pretend today that I have all the answers for this and can tell you all the details of what's still going to unfold in the days to come. But I do know this. I do know in a season like this, Jesus is doing something. Jesus is nudging us, just like he nudged Ananias, just like he did the 11. Jesus is nudging us to the place of greater faith. You see, it is likely that David of old wrote some of the most famous words of the Bible in a place of darkness. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Maybe like no other season of our faith journey, we need to let the words of this very familiar passage wash over our souls, to sink inside of us like never before. It's time to let it speak fresh to us again. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table, if I may, a table of victory in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Are you hearing it? You see, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the doubt, get close to the shepherd and follow him. When the world seems to be closing in and we have all sorts of uncertainties and we don't know where we're doing, what do? We get as close as we can to the shepherd, and he walks us through the valley of the shadow of death. We get close to him because when we're close to the shepherd, he says it, "I shall not be in want." Now, I want to be honest once again. As we face all that is happening in our world right now, all the uncertainties, the things that are causing struggles in our hearts and our minds, the idea of a shepherd probably doesn't seem that comforting. See, when I see the word shepherd, I think of like the little drummer boy at Christmas. Cute kid, but not a lot of help. See, what I want the 23rd Psalm to say right now is that the Lord is this great scientist and he's going to find an answer to COVID-19. Or the Lord is this great big bank account with an unending supply of money that I can get whenever I want. You see, to us, a shepherd is just a menial job of a powerless kid. See, David, the author of this psalm, later the great king of Israel, and the greatest type of Jesus, the great king, he is having this revelation. See, he as a shepherd is beginning to realize that God is a shepherd that is far greater than him. That God has the same heart David has for his sheep. The same thing that David is willing to do for his sheep, God is willing to do in infinitely greater ways for him. See, God gives the revelation of his shepherd's heart to a shepherd. The same shepherd who would later justify his willingness to go up in battle against the great giant Goliath by saying, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep, which is usually not a great resume piece for going to battle. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it and rescued it from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine. I mean, really think about this. This powerless kid, this shepherd, does hand-to-hand combat with bears and lions. No tigers for you Wizard of Oz people. Why does he do it? Because they have his sheep. Not just anyone's sheep, they have his sheep. See, David's heart for his sheep, David's heart that he knew when he got this revelation, was that he was willing to risk his life for his sheep. I mean, think about it. If I'm watching over a flock of sheep, and a lion or a bear comes and gets one of them, what I'm thinking is this: sheep are cheap. They breed quickly. I hate that I'm losing that one, but I'll get some more later. There's only one of me. But see, that's not the heart of the real shepherd. See, it was Jesus who alluded to this passage when he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know my sheep, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Hear me. The Father hasn't lost sight of any of us. See, I know in the midst of 7.6 billion people on planet Earth, every one of them feeling the strains of what's going on in the world right now. It's easy to believe that somehow in the midst of all that God's having to handle, that somehow he has lost sight of me, that somehow in the midst of all these people that I am somehow disposable, that it's easy to begin to think that God thinks of us like we tend to think about sheep. Well, humans are cheap. They breed, and they breed rather quickly. I'd hate it, but if I lose some, I'll get some more. But hear me, that is a lie from the pit of hell. How do I know that? The Lord is my shepherd. Not a hired hand, not just any shepherd, but my shepherd. And notice, because he is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. See, in the midst of the doubt and the darkness, make sure of one thing. Get close to the shepherd, follow the shepherd, because there he will provide. And when the doubts come in the midst of the dark valley, when the struggle comes in the midst of the darkness, I challenge you to do something. Get as close as you can. Look at his hands. The holes are still there. Look at his feet. You got to get close. The piercings are still there. Paul asks, what shall we say in response to these things? What things? Difficulties, struggles, darkness, things that seem overwhelming. What shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with the Father, graciously give us all things? Hear me today. I have followed the great shepherd for 40 years now. I've never walked through anything like we're walking through right now, but I have walked through stuff, and I've seen it, and I've experienced it. I know it is true of you as well. I know many of you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death. You've walked through difficult seasons. Remember those times right now, and remember the reality. He will provide. And as much as I want to right now, I can't tell you the details of what is going to unfold. I don't have a prophetic word about when the crisis will subside. And I don't know all the details of what is going to happen in the days to come. But I know this. He will provide. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He knows where the green pasture is. He knows where the quiet water is. He knows the direction through the valley of the shadow of death. And we get close to him, he will take us through that. You see, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the valley that makes us doubt and feel overwhelmed, when the future is very uncertain, get close to the shepherd. Follow him. And he will provide. And not only will he provide, he's going to do this radical thing in that he will provide so that we can provide for others. See, Paul shouts to us in times like these, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in, notice this, in all things and at all times. It includes great times, it includes difficult times, it includes easy times, and it includes things like a pandemic. There is a grace available to us as we get close to the shepherd, because I promise you, as he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he's helping as many people as he can. And everybody who's following him, he's just inviting us to join in with him. He says, I have all grace, and I will give it to you at all times for all things. Having all that you need, you will be able to abound in every good work. And then Paul steps it up a notch when he says, you will be made rich in every way. Not just in finances, but you'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through our generosity, through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, we need each other right now. As much as we've ever needed each other, we need each other right now. And the struggle we find ourselves in is because of the situation we're in. We're having to separate ourselves from each other. And so I want to challenge us that one of the things we can provide to others during this season is each other. I'm just telling you, we need to continually connect to each other. I encourage you, make sure you stay in connection with your community, however you have to do that. Sometimes it's going to have to be in really small environments. That's what we're going to need to do. We need to listen to the wisdom of our leaders, but we need each other as well. So man, if we get together physically, it needs to be in really, really small environments. But if we can't do that, guess what? We can use this thing called technology. We can use that phone that we carry around. We can call each other. We can contact each other. Man, we can have virtual groups together. We're going to be working on ways to tell our leaders how we can have virtual groups if we need to do that. Now, I'm going to tell you, being isolated, I've been doing it. It's hard. By nature, I'm more of an introverted person, believe it or not. I need time by myself. And even with that, man, it's been hard for me, and technology has been my lifeline. The phone calls, the FaceTimes, the Zooms, all the things that have been happening, man, have been a lifeline. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not as good as person to person, but it is way, way better than nothing. We have got to provide for other people ourselves and our heart, and we got to share the journey, and we got to share the struggle, and we've got to support each other. We've got to help each other. And whenever we do that, hear me, we can struggle and we can have doubts, but at the end, man, we've got to encourage each other in our faith. We've got to remind each other, hey, the Lord is our shepherd. He's going to take us through this. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to be in want. And while we're connecting with each other, I tell you, look for ways that we can serve each other. See, I think if we will pay attention, we're going to see lots of ways to serve each other. I don't know what those are going to be, but I know this. You could take groceries to someone who can't go get their groceries right now. Their health won't allow it. It doesn't mean you have to get in contact with them, but you can leave them on the front porch and let them give them. You can help out in that way. Maybe you can just keep each other's children, family to family. Just this idea that, hey, we all need a break because life's looking a lot different. We're all holed up with our kids for a long time right now, and we're about to go nuts here. Maybe we can give each other a break for a season. Again, we're talking about in very small environments with people who aren't sick. Maybe it could be those who, because of our health, we can go down to the blood bank because there's a lot of blood that's needed right now in our city. And people aren't out. They're not donating. We can look for ways to serve. See, if I think we will listen, Jesus is going to show us ways that we can serve each other, that we can provide for one another. Just as the shepherd provides for us, we can use what he provides us to give to others. And we're going to see God do tremendous things. And we can look for ways to give financially. This is about as raw as I can get with you today. Money tends to be an area of fear for me. I'll just say it. And in that dark moment Tuesday morning, I found myself beginning to wonder for a short moment if maybe I should quit giving. I love to give. I love to give. I give a lot of my income. And just for a little while, I started thinking, maybe this is not the season for that. Maybe I need to use what I have and save all that I have and save all that I get. And maybe we as a church, maybe we just got to do that. Maybe it's time to hunker down and just take care of me and mine. And I'm telling you, as that was going through me inside of me, I heard a resounding no in my spirit. And it was the Spirit of Jesus crying out to me. It was the shepherd who says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. See, this is our time to show and to prove the faithfulness of God with our generosity. See, I'm asking you as a church, I'm asking us to continue in the generosity that has been our norm. Here at the church, we've enacted some changes in the way that we are using the finances that come our way. Not out of fear, out of prudence, but also out of the reality that there are going to be some needs that arise in our community, and we want to be poised to meet those needs. We're increasing our food pantry to help those who are in need. We're increasing our benevolence to help people who are going to have financial needs. But you know, in the midst of this, the other needs that people have don't go away. Even though we're all focused on this reality of the virus, there's other needs in people's life, and they get exacerbated in things like this. Like, do you know that there's people who are still trying to get to work and still trying to make a living? They have to have a car to do that. And our auto garage is going to be working wisely, but we're still going to be helping people, making sure their cars run and they can get to work and they can pay their bills. We have houses that need to be worked on, especially right now with all the rain we have. And people's houses need to be secured and such. We have our boots on the ground team that are going out and they're working on houses and they're helping people in this crisis time. I want you to hear me. We are not backing down from helping our community in this season. We are not going to hole up in our homes. We're not going to hole up in our church buildings and just try to ride this thing out. We're looking for ways that we can ramp up. And we have partners around the world, partners who depend on us, and they are looking to do the same thing. So I'm asking you to continue to be as generous as you can be with your tithes and your offerings. I know we're not meeting together in our physical sanctuaries, and I know we're not passing our offering bags, and a lot of us really like that. And I'm asking if you would at least for a season go a different route. Since we're having to go virtual, we have online giving you can do, you've been told about. You can go to our website and get that. We have texting ways you can give. And if you just don't really like any of that, go old school, write a check, and put it in the mail to the church office. You can find all that information online. And I promise you this, our elders, our staff are going to seek to use every financial gift you give to bring great glory to Jesus. And I'm confident of something. I'm confident we're going to see the faithfulness of God. We're going to see his provision as we join him in loving, serving, and giving. As we join the Good Shepherd. So I want us to do something together. And I know we're not together right now. And how I really wish I could be together with you. I'm looking out on this room right now and it's empty and I see faces of people I love and people I care for, and this is our connecting place, and I know we're not supposed to be here right now, and I know this is the right thing to do. But I want us to do something together. I want us to do it in unity. I want us to declare out loud together the 23rd Psalm. I know that you may be by yourself. I know you may be with your family huddled up around a computer or around a TV. You might have some friends over doing this together. I still want us to confess out loud the truths of Psalm 23 together. In this season, this is our declaration. In this season, this is the truth. In this season, when the doubts want to overwhelm us, when the struggles want to consume us, this is what we are going to run to. And we are going to confess it again and again and again. And we are going to declare into the darkness and into the struggle, we are going to declare the truth of the Almighty. So if you will, right where you are, all over our region, really all over our world, would you say it with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right where you are, if you're able to do so, would you bow your head? And let's go into a posture of prayer. Come on right now, would you just begin to tell the Lord? Confess your fears to him, it's okay. Confess your doubts. He's going to nudge you, but he's not going to overwhelm you. He is not going to rebuke you. He gets it. He gets the reality of living in this fallen world and the crisis that seems to want to consume us right now. Would you lay it before him right now? Would you confess fears and doubts? And would you just ask him for grace to get near him? Follow him closely through this valley. Let's just learn to get as close as we can. When we're in our community communicating, whether it's over the phone or via the online tools that are available for connection or in our very, very small groups, and can we encourage each other? Get close. Come on, just ask him for grace right now. Jesus, we need grace to be close to you. We want to get close. And let's ask him for the radical. The natural thing to do right now is to hunker down and take care of me and mine. And it's contrary to the gospel. We know there is a God who will make sure that we'll never be in want. And because of that, we can be a people who are generous with our emotions. We can be generous with our presence, even if it's a virtual presence. We can find ways to serve and we can find ways to give. We can give financially. We can trust him for his provision. Would you ask him for grace to do that? Would you ask for grace to serve? Grace to listen carefully to the people you need to connect with. Grace to give in this season. Father, we come to you and we tell you that there are moments that our hearts are overwhelmed and we even feel ashamed of that. We've never walked this way before. This valley is different than any valley we've ever walked in. And we've been through difficulty and we've seen your faithfulness, but this is even testing us in our belief. But we declare, oh God, in the midst of the valley that you are enough, that you are not just the shepherd, you are my shepherd. You are the good shepherd. And we declare that we will not be in want. We can trust you. You are good and you are a provider. And so I pray over each of us that we who have prayed regularly in our lives, give us today our daily bread. We trust, oh God, that you can do that. We trust you for today. And though we don't know what tomorrow holds, we trust you for that. And we declare, over this darkness, you are the light. And when we look ahead through the valley, Father, we don't see how it's going to end. But we know you're guiding us through the valley. And we trust you, and we will stay close to you. And we ask, oh God, that as we follow you, would you help our leaders? Would you help the leaders of our land? Would you help the leaders of our world right now? Would you help our leaders all over? They need wisdom. We ask for men and women of science in the medical community, would you grant them a supernatural wisdom for a resolution to this? We ask for a healing potion, a healing tool for the sake of the people of the world, Father. We ask for your healing to be released over the nations. We ask for men and women who have contracted this virus. We ask that you would start bringing healing by the blood of your son, Jesus, that you would spare their lives and you would let them recover. And we ask, Father, that you would shield others and that you would stop this pandemic in its tracks. We are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, oh God. And we would like to say we will fear no evil, but we're not there, but we are getting there. Give us grace to get closer to it and let us know you are with us. Good Shepherd, we trust you. Good Shepherd, we believe in you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. And we pray, and we believe in your goodness because of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Man, I'm so glad you are with us. And most of the time in this time of our service, what we do is we have our prayer partners. And we're able to come down to the front of our north or south campus, and we're able to have people pray over us and such. And obviously we can't do that, but we still have our prayer partners. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for all that the Lord is doing. So we have set up options for us to be able to walk through this and to be able to do this together. And we even have been praying for the Lord to show us some words. And so we want you to take advantage of this. So I want you to see up here that we have a phone number. If you're watching one of our live services, which is going to be Thursday night, Sunday morning, or Monday night, we want you to call into 325-704-5171. And that's going to get you into our queue, and one of our pastors, one of our prayer partners will be on the other end, and they'll be ready to do that. If you're watching one of our replays and you need prayer, I just want you to text the number here. All of it's going to be on your screen when we wrap up, but you text 325-766-7076, and as soon as we are able, one of our pastors will contact back, and we'll be there to pray with you and to walk with you through this. So in addition to all that we're going through, we feel like there's someone who's recently lost a pet. And you feel like it feels foolish to grieve in a time like this, in light of all that's happening. And we want you to know God sees and he wants to walk with you through this. Someone, one of our prayer partners had a picture of a wheelbarrow and the wheel was stuck in a rut. Could see Jesus was on another path, but you couldn't figure out how to get out of the rut to Jesus. And we want to pray with you about that. We had the word anxiousness, which I know could be a lot of us, but it might be a severe thing. We want to pray fear that we won't have enough. I had to have prayer partners pray over me not too long ago for that. Those with plantar fasciitis, we want to pray for healing there. A woman named LaFawn feels like you have messed up your life so much that you've gone too far and can't get to Jesus. We would love to pray with you. Someone feels like they don't know how to pray, want to, but lack confidence that God really hears you. So when I talk about drawing near to Jesus, you're having a hard time with that. We want to pray with you about that. Someone who has an issue with blood circulation, someone who's having pain in their shin, we still want to pray because God still sees these other needs. We are praying about the big thing that is consuming our world right now, but God still sees our other needs. And he said to come to him with all of our needs. And so we want to do that. So it has been a joy to share today with you. I love you so much. And right where you are, I want us to continue doing what we end every service with. I want you to hold your hand out in front of you. And I look forward to the day that we are doing this together. But until that day, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. Lord would make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. And would he give you his peace that consumes your body, soul, and spirit? I ask, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, Prince of Peace. And God's people said, Amen.